Jones and Mike, real radio for real people who are real enough to realize they really still have a few things to figure out. Jones is a hockey-playing, city-living, vegan bachelor who practices transcendental meditation when he's not biking to shows and Cub games. Mike's a beer-swilling married father of four from suburbia. His motorcycling, marathoning, and martial arts are pretty much on the shelf while he limos children all over town to their activities for the next decade.
Sound familiar?
It's, you know, shit dudes say.
About family,
women,
philosophy,
politics,
history,
people,
money,
pop culture,
kids,
fighting,
business,
life. Join the conversation. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike. 24/7 worldwide at jonesandmike.com.
This hour, is our society becoming the WWE?
Hey, white guys, where's the beef?
And can you tell who said it?
Donald Trump or Kenny Powers?
This is Jones and Mike. Jones and Mike.
Jones and Mike, I'm coming down from the high of the Republican debate the other night.
Did you really watch it?
I did. I turned it on for like 27 seconds.
Okay. At least you kept it under 30. I can never understand. Maybe the individual parties' debates I sort of get, but I never really understand people locking and loading to watch debates. I mean, particularly when it's like Republican versus Democrat. Like, you don't know who you're voting for.
Yeah, that's a
debate's going to change it.
Yeah, that's a little more interesting to me when the two, you know, presidential candidates go head to head. And then certainly based on Admiral Stockdale's performance years ago, I every now and then, depending on who the VP, you know, running mates are, I'll check out that debate.
See, now I'll let the YouTuber catch something funny. But to me, when you have the two parties going at each other, that's when I totally check out. Because,
yeah.
I mean, what is even the point of that? Is there, once we get to that point in the electoral process, is there really anybody who doesn't know if they're going to vote Republican or Democrat?
Yeah, you're right. From a functionality standpoint, that's even more
ridiculous.
Useless. So, but for the primary, you know, the intra-partisan,
the semifinal
battle royale. I guess in Iowa, like 30% of people don't know who they're voting for still.
Like, I
don't
believe that. What the
hell's wrong with you, man?
I don't believe that. I just think, is there something, I think there are a large percentage of people out there, perhaps 30%, that they feel that is the intelligent, considered thing to say.
Ah, nice point. I like that.
You know, I don't know. I'm not going to rush to judgment.
Yeah, I'm not a rube who decided like 17 months ago.
Right. I think that's what it's got to be. Otherwise, how would you really? I mean, if you take this crap seriously, you got to know by now.
Yeah. Well, and that's what, you know, so with Trumpy backing out of the debate, which I dig. I wish he would have just said, you know, I'm backing out because I want you to see what a stage full of empty suit career politicians looks like. I'm not one of them, so I'm not going to stand with them. But instead, he went with this whole, like, I don't like that blonde chick. That beautiful, beautiful blonde chick.
I know. I agree with you. I don't know why. That would have been a great opportunity for him to do something different, take a different turn, and really get people to go,
she's
like,
mean to me.
Yeah.
I wish he would, A, I don't think that dude takes advice, but B, I wish he would have asked me. I think that's a better, like, excuse.
No,
not,
I agree.
For not
agree.
Showing up. But you know, so I did see some of the highlights, and those dudes, those other 10 empty suits, they're all douches.
Right.
Massive. When they were all trying to, like, joke around, like Ted Cruz. It's like, dude, don't even joke around. You're not funny. You're not charismatic. You're not anything. So, like, just don't even bother. Don't bother.
Maybe that's what he's trying to highlight. Because at this point, with as much momentum as Trump has, maybe that's kind of your next course of action. Like, I am just a fly on the wallpaper. I'm just very plain Jane.
They already got one of those.
To the circus.
Yeah, they've got Jeb Bush already, the most boring man who's ever.
That's true.
Is he alive? Have we actually confirmed he's alive?
That's true.
John Kasich, he's like the former governor of Ohio. In Ohio, I mean, they're thriving. Like, they thank God that they're next to Michigan, so that by comparison, they look like they're like a bustling, cultural and economic powerhouse. They can actually drink the water sometimes, although they had Toledo not too long ago up there.
That's
so
true.
So Ohio is bass-ackward as well. All these dudes leave me wanting. But if you admit that you like kind of dig Trump a little bit, you're marginalized. Like he's kind of like being with a fat chick. Nobody wants to admit that they actually dig it. They don't want to admit that they dig Trump.
Not certainly in our area, not in an urban environment, pseudo urban.
I don't know, man. Is there anybody who's like literally like putting the, like I saw my first Bernie Sanders bumper sticker the other day at the gas station. It was like a 21-year-old bim on her way out to some club filling up.
You sounded just like a Trump supporter, by the way.
Well, whatever.
A 20-year-old bim.
Yeah.
Filling up a car full of gas.
Okay, so maybe I dig how he's misogynist.
I think so.
Dick. Yeah. But I have not seen any Trump bumper stickers. I haven't seen anybody really, but I kind of dig them.
I know you do. But I think if you got outside of like Chicagoland area, the collar counties, I think you'd start to see it. If you were out in like Nebraska, the South, you know, I think in those kind of more podunk areas, I think that's where you really can kind of come forward and not worry about it.
Well, yeah. And I dig him because he's not a politician. I dig it. I dig the fact that he is different. That doesn't mean he's great, but he's different. And I dig the fact that both parties hate him. I think that's a very important thing.
That is important. But at the same point, when you're looking at Donald Trump, doesn't it kind of stick in your craw a little bit for the last, off the top of my head, since, I don't know, Lee Iacocca, I couldn't think of anybody who was an outside, actually scratch that, the first guy I voted for, I guess, Ross Perot. But outside of those guys, so you're talking like 20, almost 25 years ago, 30, 35 years ago.
Right.
You don't have any outsiders who have stepped forward.
Did Iacocca actually run?
No, but there was always that talk in the 80s.
He turned around Chrysler. He can turn around that big car plant called America.
Right. But the thing, when I look at those guys, I mean, Perot, yes, he had a little bit of a cowboy in him. But at the same, and I'm not talking about because he was Southern gentleman or
something like
that. Well,
because like the meme, or you know, the rumor was that he like led an armed posse of mercenaries into Iran to get some of his employees that have been taken hostage. Do you remember that?
I actually don't.
Yeah, that was like, I don't know if that was true or if I'm whatever, but that was like the thing. Like people were like, oh my God, did you hear what he did?
And this is Ross Perot.
Yes, that he...
Then I guess I'm even more happy I voted for him back in
the... Yeah, Google that sometime, dude. That was like the urban legend behind
his... All right, I'll actually look it up right now.
Because that was people being like, oh my God, dude. That's a guy who puts up... He leads from in front.
Right. Well, but my point about those two particular... Okay, it's at least coming up in the Google search. Ross Perot, Iran hostages.
Imagine him like shirtless with the bandolier across his chest, like Chewbacca.
Okay.
Or like Rambo, maybe is a better term.
Okay, I will look that when we go to break, I will look this up because it is coming up, the myth of the Perot Iran rescue. So I will kind of try to sift through that quickly. But my larger point is those two guys, at least back when they were considered as possibilities.
Yeah.
They looked the part. They played the part. Like, to me, when I know what you're saying, look,
they looked
Trump,
presidential.
They were presidential. Okay. Trump is absolutely not presidential. And there's a part of me where I'm almost concerned. I don't care who gets elected. And I'm not going to vote. So it doesn't really matter.
Jeez.
I think the whole thing's a game. But overall, when you see, you have to look at these. I think we're just powerless to the elite. But what we can do, for at least while we're living and breathing, is look at our fellow humanoids' reaction to the elite.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that Trump can gain so much momentum when he's not the least bit presidential.
And
it doesn't really...
So like a Barack Obama presidential. He looks presidential.
He looks presidential, but I'm even saying, now he was a career politician. I'm even saying outside of that.
He wasn't even.
What?
Well, I mean, he...
Well, no, I mean, so he was going down the path of...
Late 90s, he ran for state office in Illinois, unopposed, I think. Like, everybody who ever ran against him was, like, incapacitated mysteriously at the last minute.
No, he got... Bobby Rush, he ran against Bobby Rush and once got crushed. Because that's really actually the first time I had heard of this name, Barack Obama. And, like, I remember I was working at a radio station where a lot of... African-American, like, kind of political power players would come in. And I remember the name just Barack Obama was very lyrical, and it stood out to me.
That's right.
And
at the time, my kids love saying it.
They were tying... It's a fun... Right. The only name better than that to say is the soccer player Shelowa Amiobi. That's my favorite name in world history.
I thought you were going to say Adewale Agunlia.
No. Or another one, another close runner is Obafemi Martins.
Ooh.
I love those names. Anyway... And all not white people. We have such horrible names.
Yeah, like Trump.
Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Christie.
I remember at the time, though, hearing Obama's name was being kind of kicked around as a joke. But he was still going down.
He was like the Alan Keyes.
Oh, yeah. Because he had gotten tried. I think he lost 97% of the vote went to Bobby Rush the first time they went head to head.
That's when he figured out, okay, I know what I need to do. I need to have someone on my side who will like whack the competition for me. Or the competition will be like a plant in John McCain's case.
Right. Okay. And that could be it. But at the same time, like I'm kind of, we're all getting off track here.
My
point is he was going down the path of career politician. When I'm looking at the guys who throughout American history that would have had that presidential appeal, they look nothing like Trump. And I'm looking at that and I'm saying, okay, well now why would that have appeal now? And I don't care about him getting elected. It wouldn't even bother me. But the fact that he would have that kind of appeal without being presidential in any way, not any way, but he's so much of what is about being a Donald Trump is not presidential. It concerns me.
It concerns you, the non-voter.
Yeah. And actually, even at large, beyond that. As a non-voter, I'm concerned as to Trump's appeal. I'm concerned as to the business leaders of this America that we now talk about so famously.
Mm-hmm.
They're just... They don't strike me as being what they used to be. Our celebrities, the people that we look at. We used to look up at God. Now what do we look up at?
Yeah. I'm going to ponder that. Google Ross Perot, Iran invasion.
Have you ever listened to a radio show and thought, I could do better than that? Who hasn't? But have you ever thought about actually doing your own show? Now that seems a little more daunting for most people. Hosting your own show helps spread the word about you and your expertise, your business, product or service, charity, or any organization at all. When you have your own show, people listen to you, get the credibility, authority, and visibility you deserve. Chicago Pod Show has the studios, equipment, people, and experience to help you launch your own show almost instantly. Host a show that's heard 24/7 on iTunes, YouTube, mobile apps, websites, or even on the radio. Chicago Pod Show does it all for you. All you have to do is be the star or the expert you already are. Find out how easy getting your own soapbox can be. Visit ChicagoPodShow.com or call 312-725-8017. ChicagoPodShow.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones and Mike. This week, I saw a lot of talk of Donald Trump being a fascist. So when I hear the word fascism, I just simply think of it as the merging of corporate and state interests. And I saw like videos this week, like meme type videos saying, is Donald Trump a fascist? Well, experts say that a fascist is someone who rules through violence. And I was kind of like, what? Really? What? Tell me more, video. And it went on to basically say that he's very similar to Hitler. And I'm like, I don't know about really. And then it kind of like, you know, strung together his clips of violence, how he leverages violence against, you know, women, and he bullies people. It showed him kicking out that Univision reporter out of the room. And I'm like, that was violent?
Yeah,
hello.
Yeah,
and it showed him talking about, like, I could go out there and shoot someone and still have support. And it's like, out of context, that seems, I guess, outrageous. On the other hand, it's kind of like, I don't know. He's kind of saying you guys are all dopes. So is that really, was he threatening violence there? So at any rate, the propaganda war is in full swing, and I think it's interesting that it's the left and the right both converging on this dude, which I think is pretty rad, and that's why I like him, because it's like, wow, if they both hate him, whoever is my enemy's enemy is my friend, I think. And so I look at him being an outsider, but yet so inside, he's been paying off both parties. He's been a buddy to the Clintons. He's certainly not an outsider, but they're treating him like he's a threat. And I think that that's what we need right now in this country. So I dig him. But, and again, will I vote for him? I don't know. I don't have to make that decision today.
No, you don't know who you're voting for.
Yeah, you're that's like what that considered. Yeah.
You're considering it.
That's right. That's what smart people do. They wait till the very last second. And I do, because I don't know. He might come out and like spike a baby on a sidewalk like a football celebration.
Okay.
And then do the dab.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I want to kind of wait till the last minute here.
I get that, but it's not like no one's wait till the last minute. Wouldn't you know until...
No, right now he's the guy
baby?
I dig the
okay,
most.
Yeah.
Of all
so
those empty
know.
Suits, he's the guy I like the most.
So, yeah, you know. No one is making you vote right now.
But the more
time... But you
time,
know who you want.
But the more time that goes on, the more he has a chance to mess it up with his words and actions and deeds. And you know, I think by now, okay. The nice thing about this dude is that it's not like he's a newcomer. Like, nobody knew anything about Barack Obama in 2006.
Okay.
No one. This guy's been vetted for generations. So, you know, for better or for worse, you know all of it. The good, bad, and the ugly about this dude. And he has not hidden really anything.
Okay, but short of spiking a baby on a sidewalk, you know if you are going to bother to vote that you're voting for him. Until he does that. There's really no other... There's nothing else holding up your vote other than, like, some outrageous spiking a baby on a sidewalk.
Yeah,
I mean, he wouldn't say any. There's nothing he would say anything about really taxes other than like it's 90%. I mean, there's nothing that he would say politically that would make you turn.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go into it now, but the rap has been that he hasn't been specific on that, and he actually has been pretty specific on what his economic policies will be, and you know. All those clowns are saying, like, we'll carpet bomb ISIS. And it's like, well, I don't know. Why don't you start with stopping arming and funding and training them? I think that would be probably a good logical first step before you carpet bomb Aleppo. But beside the point, you're right. Ultimately, I don't think much is really going to change around these parts. But I do like that an outsider is in the conversation. Now, having said that, this guy...
He's an outsider.
He uses Twitter, like, you know, unless it's really outrageous, then he goes, oh, that was an intern. It's like, all right, dude, I wish you would just own it all the way. But, like, he communicates with people through social media, and it's, you know, conversely or contrasting to that is I've seen reliable reporting that Hillary Clinton is kind of doing the Barack Obama thing. Where she has he famously had, like, a team of, like, 20-somethings, and I actually met some of them. He recruited a team of like crack social media content producers. He assembled them. They were based in like some, you know, I always envision like some lofts around Chicago, around the Loop or whatever, from like University of Chicago and stuff. And they pushed out tons of social media content, and they split tested email campaigns so meticulously that they, you know, they would test like 23 email campaigns simultaneously for subject lines and for content and so on. And then obviously pick the winner, and that would be the arsenal tool for the week that would raise the most money and get the message out and et cetera. So Hillary is kind of going about the same, you know, game plan as he did with her content marketing strategy. And obviously I'm the marketing guy. I look at that stuff. Trump has virtually no strategy at all. He literally jumps on Twitter and just talks to people and fights with people. And he fights through video. And he's a schmo. And I guess that turns a lot of people off, including you.
It does. I mean, look, I wouldn't, again, I'm not going to vote. I wouldn't vote for him anyway. I mean, I'm not going to go out there and vote. So it's not that big a deal to me in terms of like getting me out in November, but in terms of seeing like, oh, wow. So that's the appeal now. It does kind of, it weirds me out. That is the person that can, it's possible that someone like him can be perceived as being presidential, or, you know, it's just the overall mindset of people now that really has me kind of concerned. 20, 30 years ago, a reality television character would have been a disqualifier at being presidential.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, now, even earlier this week, there was that video back and forth between the former pharmaceutical president. Was he the president of the firm? Michael Schiaccarelli?
Martin Schiaccarelli. Yes, Schiaccarelli. Martin Schiaccarelli. And as far as I know, he
Turing Pharmaceuticals,
had like
right?
a hedge fund that got into pharma, and then he, I think, now he's charged with like starting another hedge fund in order to defraud investors. Like, it's all a big mess, right?
Right.
But you're right. Like, I don't think he, like, grew up, like, in the family pharmaceutical business. I think he's more of a hedge fund baby
okay.
who made a mint and saw opportunities to get into pharma and leverage
okay.
that.
Well,
and
now,
then he bought that one drug that apparently has some application to AIDS patients.
Right. And then he wanted to do like a 5,000% markup.
Up from $13 a pill to $750.
Yes. Yeah, he wanted to do some crazy like 5,000% markup. Now, we've had those type of personalities in the past. Like, you know, the sociopath capitalist that will do anything to get ahead. And now
I think that's redundant, but
well,
go on.
Now, it may sound a little bit crazy on my part, but even back in the day, the sociopathic capitalist looked and acted the part. Even when this Schiaccarelli was out in front of cameras and he was coming off as this diabolical sociopath, he still looked like the young upstart.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden in the last few days, now video is emerging where he's going back and forth with rappers from the Wu-Tang Clan and this whole crazy thing. And I'm just looking at it and I'm thinking like, okay, 20, 30 years ago, the Martin Schiaccarellis of the world still had a look and a presentation about him. It wasn't this circus. 20, 30 years ago, the outside politician had a certain look and demeanor to him. It wasn't about this circus. 20, 30 years ago, the people that we looked up to in terms of glamour and celebrity, it wasn't the Kardashians, which is an outright circus. And I'm starting to see this just bleed over into all aspects of our life.
So you're saying
this circus mentality, and it's like, okay, is this...
America's devolving. We used to have Lee Iacocca, now we
yes.
have Donald Trump.
Right, yes. We used to have Lee Iacocca, now we have Donald Trump. We used to have Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, total sociopaths, by the way. And now we have Martin Schiaccarelli.
Yeah, we're going to go with Schiaccarelli.
Schiaccarelli, I'll always just...
We'll fix it in post.
No, you won't. You always say that.
So he
and
bought,
then I listen again, and you never fix
I,
it
I
in
never
post.
Fix yours.
You just say
I
never, it.
No,
yeah.
I don't fix yours at all. So he, Schiaccarelli, bought a, like, one single copy... was pressed, yeah, right, of a Wu-Tang Clan album.
Yes, he paid $2 million for
this it. This was before he got taken down by the feds.
Yes.
And he has now parlayed that into fighting with the Wu-Tang Clan?
Yes. And that, to me, is...
Can I hear this? I want to hear... So he was going back and forth with Ghostface Killa.
He was.
My wife's favorite member of Wu-Tang Clan,
right.
by the way.
And, well, see, now I have other thoughts on actually the back and forth of it.
Okay.
I mean, this on its own, this Schiaccarelli situation has a number of layers to it.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that in a bit then.
We will. We absolutely will.
Fine.
I really want to do a breakdown of that.
Okay.
But, you know, you look at, like, okay, even 20, 30 years ago, you had, like, this crazy sociopath upstart, like, Steven Jobs, Bill Gates type. They would go out and buy expensive, like Gates bought a Porsche 959 that was not legal to bring into this country, and it stayed in receivership on the docks in San Francisco for like 13 years. Like, that was crazy spending and access. But like, he bought a car. This guy goes out and buys an album and then starts releasing YouTube clips where he's now having beef with these people. And I'm just looking at this going, oh my God, like, is this, this is, it, could this be the future of young businessmen in this country, young capitalists, corporate raiders? Is Donald Trump, even though he's an old man, is this the future? If he makes a successful run, and successful run even being just, you know, getting 20, 30, 40% of the vote, is that something that is going to get people to go, that's the new path now?
Yeah, I think that this is what happens with age. We glamorize and romanticize the times before us, or before this present day. And ironically, you're not even going back to like back when we were in our 20s in the 90s. We had, you're going even further back, like, oh my God, the 80s. Before then?
Well, and part of the reason they used that as a starting off point was, we were talking about politics, and my thought was Lee Iacocca.
Right.
So I just went back to that.
And I would argue that he probably was completely as creepy and as crazy as any of these other guys, but because he didn't have a Twitter, and because nobody outed him, or maybe some biographer did, but it didn't sell big, because he lived in a time when there wasn't a 24-hour news cycle with drones and microphones and watchers everywhere, He thrived.
You're right. They absolutely could have been as, Lee Iacocca absolutely could have been as crazy as Trump. What I'm saying now is, we're now living in a time where all this craziness can happen, and these power brokers will go, okay, great. I'm going to start a fight with the Wu-Tang Clan. Like before, like this Shkreli guy. Even though the country is like the most hated man, and that's not a promise that I'll stick to that. Yeah. I'll probably still bounce back and forth.
The one who hates Ghostface Killer.
Yeah. When a couple weeks ago, when he was the most hated man in the country, he was at least still thought of as like this intelligent capitalistic sociopath. Now it's just kind of this zoo. And it's amazing to me that it does seem that how quickly things devolve into a zoo. And it almost seems like that's where everybody wants to go, and the waters that they want to wade in.
Okay. Well, and so some observations, perhaps the corporate barons of today are different from the corporate barons of yesterday, in that the corporate barons of today are hedge fund dudes and people who made a ton of money in this .com before the .com bubble. They had a .com, and you know, they don't create things. They leverage things. They're middlemen.
Well, and that's so, any of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's Steven Jobs is that.
So have you read The Laws of Success and 16 Lessons by Napoleon Hill?
No, I know who Napoleon Hill is.
It's like, it's hard to read. It's really hard to read. And the, like, the Cliff Notes version of it that was well read, or has been well read in the last 75 years, is called Think and Grow Rich.
Yes.
And Napoleon Hill, as the story goes, Napoleon Hill was like commissioned to follow and kind of codify the practices and the mindset of successful people like Andrew Carnegie and Henry Ford, and all these dudes who, like, hung around together in this very elite club in the early part of the 20th century. And those dudes, like, created things. And the dudes of today, they, like, leverage things. They trade paper. They don't,
right.
You know, Jeff Bezos delivers things. He really doesn't make anything. He did make something incredible, but, and he improved things, but, like, he basically made a better post office. Right. So you
right.
didn't really like
yes.
create anything. Right. And I guess the argument then could go like, well, Henry Ford just made a better way to make cars. Right. But it seemed like those dudes were in the creation process, and the corporate barons of today are in the leveraging process. And there is kind of like a distinction there. But the Shkreli dude, like, you know corporate elite types. You know them very well. You, Brian Jones.
I know him.
So, like,
I'm
he is not.
You.
He's not a. Well, I have to be clear to someone who's listening.
Right.
There's at least one person listening to this who's not related to us. Shkreli isn't like a. He's not at all in the league of the person that you know. He's not any. They're not similar at all.
No.
So he's not the poster child for
no, I'm,
corporate barons, for captains of industry, for the elites.
No,
he's just the most famous because he's putting his pecker out there in a big way.
I know.
And he's utilizing the technology of today to do it, right?
I know. I understand that. I'm just saying, is this now the point where we're going to start to see more of this? That the it's
people
more
emulating
about,
him?
Yes. Mm. That it's more about the circus. That it's more about people are going to go down that Trump, Shkreli, Kardashian, rodeo circus route.
Yeah, if
because that's what
that
now speaks
culture,
to us.
That bro culture.
Yeah, is that now what speaks to us? And going back to my point from when we kind of first kicked off the show, that's where I'm concerned. I'm looking at that and going, that's how we communicate now. That's what. Matters.
It's like it's the use and misuse of social media that I think is at the fulcrum of this issue. Where, like, if Gerald Ford had a way to communicate directly to Americans and it wasn't filtered by his handlers, I think that he would sound pretty Trumpy in his inane statements. Trumpy at his worst would be very Gerald Fordish.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know if people from that time, from that era, I'm not going to say they didn't say stupid, crazy things, but my point is now people are looking to say those stupid, crazy things.
Oh, now we've changed and we celebrate it.
Let's get out. Yeah.
We want that.
Yeah. Let's get out in front of this. This is what is going to get me this certain level of attention, certain level of influence. The idea that you don't have to be embarrassed or careful about what you're going to say when you're a leader, like when you're doing what we do, like who cares? But when you're like trying to be the quote unquote free leader of the world, there should be a certain level of decorum, I feel, that you hold yourself to. And I'm starting to wonder if from this point forward, that is going to steadily deteriorate.
Yeah, and meanwhile, so the thing that attracts me to Trump and dudes like him is the thing that you're citing here, and I would say it's that he comes off as real, even if it's brash and it doesn't feel focused and scripted. And I just gave you two examples of people who were highly focus grouped, highly scripted, highly split test in Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. They did not say or do anything unless it passed through 23 filters of testing. And that is what people are gravitating toward. He misspeaks. He sounds like a jerk many times or sometimes. But at least it's because he's talking from the heart. And sometimes when you're speaking from the heart, you misspeak. But when everything is coming off of a teleprompter, and that is a slam of Obama... You know, he does sound different off the teleprompter than he does on the teleprompter. He does sound so presidential. So, you know, I guess if I have to pick, I want a guy who's speaking, really speaking to me. Even if I don't always like what he's saying. Like, you know, I'm a big fan of abortion. I want everyone to have like, he's a big abortion guy. I'm not. So that should be like, oh, I shouldn't vote for him. But I'm kind of like, you can't have it all. So I guess he wants partial birth abortions or something, and I definitely do not want that. But for the most part, I dig the realness. So to answer your question earlier, he may spike a baby off the sidewalk like Cam Newton spiking a football.
But that's the only thing that will stop you from loving him.
He hates babies, it turns out. But at least he's real about it and open about it. I respond to that.
I'm just scared that realness is becoming that realness is creating appealness. It
Ooh,
bothers me.
I like that. That when you run for president, That could be your slogan.
Not happening.
Realness that creates appealness. Vote for Jones. It's Jones and Mike.
I've been very happy with the fish oil that I've received. I trust that it's PCB, mercury-free, it's clean, it's wild-caught, and it's the best stuff that I've found.
Chris is just one of thousands of satisfied Pacific Rim customers around the world and here in Chicago. You need omega-3s daily, but most of us here in Chicago do not get nearly enough of them from our diet. Even worse, if you're like me, you eat too much beef, and that drives up your omega-6s. Those are the omegas that lead to inflammation in your joints and in your arteries. As I like to say, omega-3s counteract the beef sandwiches. They lower cholesterol, reduce inflammation, joint and back pain, boost brain function and eyesight, improve circulation and performance, open your lungs, and give you a healthier heart. Why are you not getting all of these benefits from Pacific Rim Omegas? Try Pacific Rim for free. Just pay the shipping. This is an exclusive offer just for listeners of this radio station. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com and get your free trial of Pacific Rim. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
It's Jones and Mike. So this pharma bro, this hedge fund bro, Martin Shkreli, I don't even feel like he's real, like he's a real thing. I feel like he was a concoction, like somebody made him.
I'm starting to wonder that now. I wouldn't have thought that weeks ago. I would have thought diabolical sociopath,
yeah.
Loves money. We've seen this before. That's not that unusual.
Right, right.
Now I'm wondering.
I felt from the beginning like he was an actor set up to make us Americans, Americans, and to make us hate elites. To do something so... Like, he could have gone from $13 a pill to $100 a pill. But he went to $7.50 a pill. Like, he took it to such an extreme that it made him so easy to hate that I went, something doesn't really add up to me, to my... He doesn't pass my sniff test. And now he's out there in social media fighting with the band, with a member of the band that he just... ostensibly paid $2 million to.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, paid $2 million for a one print copy of, and I don't have the name, do you have the name of the album in front of you?
I don't. I'm not a Wu-Tang Clan guy, although...
No, neither am I.
Yeah.
But
Ghostface Killa would definitely be my favorite Wu-Tang Clan guy.
Yes. Yes, he's at the top of the list for sure. So, but yes, Shkreli goes out and pays $2 million for this album. I'll get the title of it. Not like it.
Yeah.
It's weird that I would even go out and get the title. Like, if once I give you the title, it's not like you can go out and get it.
Go out and buy this album.
Yeah, it costs $2 million, and there's only one copy. And the worst human being in our country owns that copy.
And it's like in a silver, like, stainless steel plated, like, album box.
Right.
It's cool. And now he's showing, like, on video, he's showing how he's using it as a giant coaster in his apartment. Like, something about this guy seems like he's an actor. So he decided, for whatever reason, to start fighting with Ghostface Killa, beefing with him.
Yes, over the album Once Upon a Time in Shaolin.
Ah, yes. And so he started, like, making fun of Ghostface Killa, and then Ghostface Killa would respond...
Well, no, I guess how it started was over the pharmaceutical thing. So he bought this album, and then once he jacked up the price, Ghostface Killa was like, screw this guy. And he, you know, publicly came out and said, screw this guy. This guy's an a-hole going up and jacking up the price for AIDS patients by like 5,000%. And then that's when the beef started.
And it culminated this week in this video right here of Shkreli taking on the boys. We're going to fix this in post.
We will this time.
Do you insist?
Yes.
Dennis, I'm going to call you by your government name.
Ooh.
You're not a Ghostface Killa. I'm sorry. In fact...
And it's Shkreli in like...
Most people never try to beef with me.
Button-down shirt.
What do you guys think?
Nobody's that dumb.
With three dudes
Everyone
with masks and hoods on behind
like Mexican wrestlers.
Because you know, it's just one of these things where, for whatever reason, you think it's okay to beef with me. But that's a big mistake. You know,
that's
at the end of the
mistake.
Day, I'm very sorry for you. You're an old man. You're an old man.
Like,
that's
look, it looks like they're like in an apartment,
to claim the spotlight from
I know.
Spot.
Like an apartment that me and you would rent.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the. Yeah. It, that's, it doesn't
fact,
look real.
I think that.
It's like a stabbing cabin.
Say some dumb shit again. This album, this Shaolin, I'm going to erase all your shit from this album.
Right here, man. Right here.
Yeah, he's holding, he's holding up the stainless steel album cover.
Son, you're my son. You have to listen to me.
What does that
I
even mean? You're my
bread.
Son.
You understand me?
Yeah. You'd be a ghost for real, motherfucker.
Without you.
Oh, that, no, that's a threat.
Me,
isn't that against
not,
the law? You can't
so
threaten someone like
you,
that.
I have to give you some punishment. I'm sorry. I'm not going to let this slide. I expect you to write me a written apology from the heart. Some contrition, some long letter where you explain your
he's
sorrow.
Like got a
and
snifter of brandy in his hand.
It's
not a friend's neither, mother.
Crayons.
I love. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Are you telling me Andrew Carnegie wouldn't have done this stuff if he could have?
Not a chance. Not a chance.
We saw him getting pitched for.
Dude, Henry Ford, Andrew Carnegie, they totally would have done stuff like
this. No,
this
is no. Shkreli found like three old buddies, black friends of his that were like in debate club.
He ain't even got no damn. He is sentenced to his ass.
Yeah.
Cop him, please. I got kids.
Now they're giving a hard, giving him a hard time because he hasn't done hard time.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, okay.
So this this goes on for a little bit more. But when I watched this video, I just I looked at it and it's so absurd. It's questionably three African American gentlemen standing behind Shkreli because they have Mexican like wrestling masks on or something stupid you wouldn't even really know. Uh-huh. And they're interjecting here, there, like, yeah, that's right, boy. You know, it just, if you unmask them, I would not be surprised if they were just like, you know, three Jewish kids from like chess club that he knew in high school or something ridiculous. But when I looked at that, and then he's, like you said, he's got the like little brandy going and he's trying to be, you know, some kind of badass. They eventually, then there's a video response from Ghostface Killer where he's just like in a bar with like some other like black dude and they're hanging out. And they
I don't know if this is a response. It was actually 4 days ago. That other one was 2 days.
Yo, it was good.
I don't want to bother you too
is this
much.
It?
Oh, shit.
You know, but I had to get your reaction to what Martin Shkreli said on Twitter today.
Yeah, this was first.
I'm checking this dude out right now.
Well, that, there's a couple
of them.
And they're like at a Buffalo Wild Wing.
But they look
Jackson nose kid. Right here, check it. Yeah, the Michael Jackson nose.
Someone's calling.
Yes, this was before. This really set Shkreli off. The Michael Jackson nose comment.
Check that nose out.
Just showing a picture of him on his phone, you know Martin Shkreli's picture.
But see, when you look at this, when you look at this video.
I'll break your heart in 4 days. You know what I mean?
Doesn't he look so much more... You believe it.
You know what I'm saying?
He looks so much more relaxed, but sincere.
See that?
Yeah.
And you look at Shkreli, and it is completely laughable. And Shkreli could probably hire people to kill us. But it just... When I was watching
Is that what you're trying to do? You're trying to start a beef between us and Shkreli?
I would love it. Hey, you're armed.
Man,
you can protect us.
We don't even know how to pronounce your name, fool.
But it was. I just looked at it and I just thought, is there really, have I ever seen, at least in the 21st century, a circumstance where a white dude or a group of white dudes successfully, at least in terms of a presentation, rolled up on a black dude? It just looks so Shkreli's presentation to Ghostface Killer's presentation. It just looks so laughable.
Yeah, we're not
and
good
I wonder,
at it. You're right.
Yeah, can it be done? I don't think that it can be done.
Yeah.
Where there's a kind of a back and forth. I mean, there like maybe a Conor McGregor could do it, like on a one-on-one basis.
Yeah,
but that's like about it. There's like one. Or two guys, like all of a sudden, like for example, like if you took like Donald Trump and Ben Carson and they decided like that it was really going to be a beef, I think
Trump
would crush that
neurosurgeon.
No, I think the good doctor. I think the good doctor could suddenly posture up.
Donald, I don't appreciate your tone.
I'm telling you.
There's no way. Trump kills Carson. But I think you're right. And I think that it's a cultural thing where, like, in the barber... I was even saying to my wife just last night, like, I need to start taking my sons to black barber shops so they can learn how to do that. that thing that you're
like
describing.
Like posture up,
yes.
To ease back, but put yes. ease back to put out. It's true passive aggression.
Yeah, they're good at burning
aggression.
Each other. Absolutely,
they kind of lay back, but they let you have it. Like Shkreli's trying to do that, you know, like oh look at me just having a drink in Manhattan and watch out, and no one would be afraid of him. He fears no.
But he's
like,
smart.
He looks like he fears everybody, but no one is afraid of him.
Yeah, but he was smart in that the actual threat of murder of 187 came
yeah.
from one of the Nacho Libre guys.
Right, right. And that could have been calculated. Like, look, I can't say this, but I want you to say it. But even still, it's laughable.
Yeah.
It is completely laughable. Like, even if you were watching, so you watched Shkreli and his boys threaten someone
mm-hmm.
and you don't believe it. If you saw the Wu-Tang Clan hanging out and there was like one white guy in the background and he was the one that was like, that's right, I'm going to cut you. You would be like, oh, he means it. He means it. If he's hanging out with the Wu-Tang Clan, he's coming for it.
So,
whereas with Shkreli, like I don't even know that those were really black dudes.
You don't think he at least hired three actual black guys?
No, I'm saying I don't know. Like the presentation is just an utter mystery where you would like watch like the Wu-Tang dudes and you're like, no, that's the real deal.
Now, so is that a...
Now, will
I'm
you...
I'm not accusing you of being racist. I want to be clear. I'm not accusing you. But is there a latent fear of black people at play in that? If they threaten me, I actually take them seriously. Whereas if a white guy does, I'm not afraid of white people on any sub or above conscious level. So I don't take that seriously.
No, it's about the presentation. What is more threatening is when someone is laid back about it.
Yeah.
He looks, Shkreli is forcing it. And I think when most white people find themselves in that position, they look like they're forcing it. Whereas when you could even take, now we're going to levels of fiction, but characters, but like when you take like a Drexel Spivey.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, sitting down and having the egg roll, and who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe you don't give an F.
Yeah.
It unnerved him
because Christian Slater in True Romance in that scene, it unnerved Drexel Spivey how quiet Christian Slater was being.
Yeah.
And the only one in the room who was talking was Drexel. And the more he heard his own voice, the more he got riled up about it.
Right. But
I like
even,
what you're saying there.
But even in that point, he points out, I think you're scared. Because, you know, there's a big woman there with her breasts is hanging
yeah.
out.
Since you walked into this room, was a woman with her breasts is hanging out.
And yes, and he, and but you see, like, I think that, and I think it's more of like a male thing. When you see someone posture up, there's a certain, you're right, you have to start taking your sons and me to black barber shops.
Yeah.
So we can learn how to posture up, but sit back.
Yeah.
That's the key that white people don't get. Like, we posture up, like, ah, then we're going to get that, and then this
right.
thing's going to happen.
We're going to carpet bomb ISIS. We're going to carpet bomb them. We're going to destroy them like you wouldn't believe.
Exactly.
Like Trumpy.
Exactly. Even if you go back to, like, when you remember when Conor McGregor first went after Jose Aldo and they started getting in each other's face? Initially, Aldo really just... McGregor would be going crazy trying to get inside his head. And Aldo would just look and smile. Even when that one fight when McGregor like just dusted, I think it was Dennis Seaver, and he dusted and he ran out of the cage and like started screaming Aldo's face. Aldo totally just looked at him like, I ain't nothing. He couldn't have cared less. He postured up. He didn't look weak, but he kind of looked like he didn't have a care in the world. And he convinced us of that.
Uh-huh.
Weeks later, McGregor simply takes his belt off of the table and Aldo's like running after him. And I looked at that and my first reaction was, dude, why didn't he just sit back and go, no, take the belt. I'll just take it back from you when I need it.
Yeah.
Then everybody would have been like, ooh, he's not worried about him at all. That's the key. That I think white people haven't figured out really is the posture up, but chill out.
Yeah.
We posture up, but there's no chill out.
And even like, so that thinking on your feet, I will give the nod to my black brethren in that regard. It seems like out of, so like when a white band writes a song, they spend 6 months writing about their emotions and their feelings and all this stuff. And in the black community, many times they will freestyle on the spot, coming up with rhythmic rhyming burns on right. each other.
Sometimes and fabulous, sometimes awful,
sometimes weak, but
they do it.
It's not always as great as in 8 Mile, but even right there, it's like, oh, I don't know. I would rather my kid know how to think on his feet like that, as opposed to like, here, take a pen and a paper and go in your room in a dark place for 6 months
right.
and write a song.
Which is essentially what we were just listening to. Shkreli, that was clearly an organized video inside of his very unimpressive
stabbing
apartment.
Cabin. Yes. Yeah.
But when we watched like the Wu-Tang guys, someone rolled up on them at a Buffalo Wild Wings and started talking to them. And they didn't even care. Like yeah. someone is, you know, someone's threatening you or whatever. And they're just like, yeah. All right, he's going to get his.
Yeah. So, and
give me more chicken wings.
Admittedly,
like he didn't care.
Admittedly, it was out of context. It would have been a weird out of context thing, but I have talked to musicians and celebrities and things like that, and it didn't bother me all that much, and I wasn't intimidated necessarily. But one time I was in a restaurant where Dr. Dre and his posse were eating. And it would have been weird if I walked up, but I didn't even consider it for a second, walking up to their table and being like, hey, Dr. Dre, love ya. It like, I was intimidated by those dudes.
Right.
Intimidated. And again, it would have been weird in a restaurant, so it's a little bit apples and oranges. But there is a certain, like you're saying, a certain muscularity.
There's a lethargic aggression.
That they project that honkies just don't.
No.
They just don't. And we need to change that. So I'll find the black barbershop. Will you give up your $45 haircuts at whatever salon you go to
in order to go to a
black barbershop with me and my boys, you know, on Torrance?
No. You know what I'll do? I'll go there and I'll pay for a haircut, and then I'll just tell them I'll pay for your services, sir. I just want to sit down and learn how to posture up like a man. That's why I'm there. I'm not there for the haircut. I still like my $45 haircut.
Can't they at least just kind of, they can just tidy you up in the back?
No, because then they'll do something weird. No, I can't do that.
All right, let's put a bow on this with a fun contest for now between you and me, but we'll start to figure out ways to integrate you, the listener, in these contests. Up next, Who Said It? Donald Trump or Kenny Powers? Jones and Mike.
When it comes to finding a holistic doctor near you, where can you turn for help? When you need a cancer doctor who will advocate for a non-surgical, non-chemical course of treatment, where can you find her? When you need a chiropractor or acupuncturist, when you need help with ailments that many doctors and even hospitals just plain turn away, like Lyme disease, who can help you with natural solutions and strategies for diabetes? When you need help to find an integrative, functional, complementary, alternative approach, option, and practitioner, the Health Freedom Network is there. Since 2009, the Health Freedom Network has been a leading resource for natural medicine and health information and research. Now we're also your best resource to give you access to the top docs in a number of specialties, from cancer to stroke, and in modalities from chiropractic to dentistry. The Health Freedom Network's directory at healthfreedomnetwork.com. Better information for better choices. Find your new health practitioner at www.healthfreedomnetwork.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
It's Jones and Mike. Were you a fan of the show Eastbound and Down, Jones?
Yeah, actually, it's kind of... So next week, I'm going on a hockey tournament. I'm going to play an outdoor... The USA's largest outdoor pond hockey tournament. And every year, I go up with my guys to Eagle River, Wisconsin.
Hmm.
And every year, we play the newest season of Eastbound and Down, which is now done. But because of this tournament, I never would have seen the show before, but because of the tournament, every year I'm like, oh yeah, here I see whatever season one, season two, three.
Oh, you watch it up there.
Yeah. We all sit down and during the course of the weekend, we watch the whole season of whatever was the latest season of Eastbound and Down. So I've seen them all.
Okay. And it was on HBO.
It was on HBO. I've only seen Kenny Powers.
Yeah. Kenny Powers. And he reset what it's about.
So it's basically the fictitious story of John Rocker, the old Atlanta Braves pitcher who was like
racist.
Yes. So Kenny Powers plays this kind of has-been baseball player, just an idiot, racist, misogynistic type guy. Sociopath. Well, no, he's not really a sociopath. That's the strange thing. But
he has feelings. He knows when he does wrong.
Yes.
And he cares.
He cares in a very absurd and bizarre way. It's like Archie Bunker times 1,000. So he's this baseball player who's past his prime, still trying to hang on to it. Or in moments during the series, he would kind of feel like, no, I'm definitely past it now. And then he would try to move on to his life, but he couldn't let go with being Kenny Powers. It was a cult of personality. You know, in his own mind, he felt everybody should have known him when he walked into the room.
Yeah, and just a giant of a man with, like, jerry-curled hair.
I'm sick and tired of carrying all the weight. The coaches and owners not giving me the shit I need to win. Atlanta, you're f***ing out. Kenny Powers is now a free agent. Find a bar and get f***-faced, huh? Get me paid, bitch! Superstar!
Did you get the Christmas cards we got you this year?
Yeah, so
Kenny Mother Grubbin Powers.
I remember him most recently from a commercial when he walks into a gym and he calls Uriah Faber shirt off.
13, 16, 12, 100. What's up, shirt off? See your tubes are squishing pretty big time when you land?
They're supposed to do that.
You're supposed to do that. I know, dude. I'm just saying, it looks cool.
You want to try?
Please. Like I'm going to jump rope like a little school child. I don't think so. Get over yourself, dude. I'll be over here getting my swell on. Let me know when you're ready to work out for real.
It started to kind of cross over from HBO to like regular mainstream commercials and stuff.
Yes.
About 5-6 years ago.
And strangely, when we go up to northern Wisconsin, where the tournament is, like we've seen dudes like that look like Kenny Powers. Like you can tell they're trying to look like Kenny Powers.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, Wisconsin, clearly, no. If Making a Murderer has taught us anything, it's taught us that people in Wisconsin look like aliens.
No, I'm telling
you. They need to go to black barbershops.
They do. Everybody does. That's not black. Everybody does.
So on BuzzFeed this week, and it was, kind of passed around on Facebook, we both happened to see the same thing, this test. Who said it, Trump or this other brash, honky with terrible hair, misogynistic, racist, rube known as Kenny Powers?
Yes.
Which was brilliant. So let's take this. Who said it, Jones? Donald Trump or Kenny Powers? You know, it really doesn't matter what the media write as long as you've got a young and beautiful piece of ass. I kind of started saying it in Trump language there.
Right. Now, when I read this quote, and I thought, you know, I'll get 8 to 9 to 10 out of 10 on this. Because
you
I've
know
seen the show.
Kenny Powers. Yes. You don't know Trump necessarily, but you know Kenny Powers.
I know Kenny Powers' material even more so than Trump. So I go on this one.
Yeah.
I go with Kenny Powers.
Okay. And you're wrong. Donald Trump said that.
Right.
Donald Trump said that, dude. Unbelievable.
See, now I don't know. Like I just, because once it got to, I know he says all this misogynistic stuff, but once it's like young, beautiful piece of ass, I just thought, like, no, seeing ass, that's got to be Kenny Powers.
That's not presidential. Who said this? The humongous part about being a celebrity is cashing in on it, making shitloads of money, having expensive, luxurious things. That way, in case one day you're not famous, you can still be rich as hell and better than everyone around you. Who said that, Trump or Kenny Powers?
Right. Now, on this one, I thought, I kind of was a little bit burned there on the first. Donald Trump is who I know.
Kenny Powers said it. Kenny Powers said that. Kenny Powers. Who said this? How the hell do people think that just because we're in Mexico, that it's totally cool to come into someone's house and wait for them unannounced?
Now, this one, I went with Kenny Powers because he spends, the series goes down to Mexico.
Yeah, I'm going to say Powers 2 only because it would be two, and it is Kenny Powers. I would have said that because it would have been too obvious that it's, you know, Mexico and Donald Trump and he hates Mexicans or whatever. Okay. Who said, I am the least racist person there is? And I think most people that know me would tell you that. I'm the least racist. This one's easy for me.
See, I thought it was easy too, and I went with Kenny Powers.
I'm going to go with Trump, and it is Trump.
Yes.
Donald Trump said, I'm the least racist.
I just thought he wouldn't say that. You know, I mean, I know he says outrageous stuff. I'm like, he won't say that. And that's why I went with Kenny Powers. I just thought it was too over the top. Like, I can't believe that.
I used to hang around with people that would say, like, if you got to say it about yourself, it's not true. It's like you're actually at the tell. You're right. Actually saying I am racist.
Right, right.
Who said this? Sure, I've been called a xenophobe, but the truth is I'm not. I honestly just feel that America is the best country and that other countries aren't as good. That used to be called patriotism.
Now, this I was absolutely like 100% Donald Trump, because it's outrageous, but it still didn't have like kind of the over, like the last comment, I'm the least racist. I'm like, there's no way Trump would have said that. This I was like, yep, Donald Trump totally said this.
Yeah, I'm honestly going with Kenny Powers on this one. And it is Kenny Powers.
I mean,
Kenny Powers.
I'm telling you, like, and here's the thing, America, whoever is listening to this broadcast, I watched every episode of Eastbound and Down, and I cannot tell the difference between what could be the Republican nominee for the president of the United States of America and Kenny Mother Grabbing Powers.
I want, like, Donald Trump's wife to take this.
Yes.
Or Ivanka.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
If they couldn't even tell the weird things that their old man said. Who said this? This is a real job. It's not like teaching kids.
Okay. Because I think you actually did miss one, but let me.
That's fine. I'm kind of skipping
around.
Got it.
Okay. Because I was looking where my answers were at. I did go with Donald Trump. I could see like kind of an anti-union rap or something.
Okay. All right. Yeah. No, it is. It's Kenny Powers. It's Kenny Powers. Who said, I'm just an average American. I'm just an average American with extraordinary hair.
Now, this was the toughest one. And I'll admit, I studied it and I thought about it before I gave the answer.
You actually spent time on this. This is like something you do before you grab for the toilet paper.
Yeah, I really...
You're actually working on it.
No, because this one was one where I thought I can get this one right. Because I felt I could get this one right, but really they both apply to both men so spot on. I went with Kenny Powers.
Mm. You are correct, sir.
I am.
Kenny Powers. Kenny Powers. The concept of global warming was created by and for the Chinese in order to make U.S. manufacturing non-competitive.
This one, I went with Donald Trump right away. I just don't hear those words coming out of Kenny Powers.
Yeah, and you are correct. And I agree with that statement, actually. Again, I'm telling you, this guy's not that bad. Just like in life, all my successes depend on me.
On this one, I had to go. This was just right out of, this had to be out of Eastbound and Down because he was writing a motivational book through part of it.
So I said Trump.
Kenny. I went with Kenny Powers.
It is Kenny Powers. Yes, I said Trump there. Yeah. Women have one of the great acts of all time. The smart ones act very feminine and needy, but inside, they are real killers.
Now this one, I was like, okay, I know that Trump has the whole anti-woman stigma, but I just felt, again, it was just a little too over the top that it had to be Kenny Mother Grabbing Powers.
It's Donald Trump. It's Donald Trump, dude.
So I got...
Here, one last question.
Okay.
Money was never a big motivation for me except as a way to keep score.
I got, let's see, as a way to keep score, because now you moved around. I went
just,
with...
Just say, Donald Trump or Kenny Powers.
I know. I'm trying to go back to my answers on that. I went with Kenny Powers.
Yeah, it was Donald Trump. It was Donald Trump.
I got... There were 11 questions. I've seen every episode of Eastbound and Down. I compared Kenny Mother Grab Him Powers and Donald Trump, and I only got 4 out of 11 right.
Oh, my God.
That's how
you
little...
You gotta turn in your Eastbound and Down card.
Or... If we could just, like, turn down the Donald Trump card. It's unbelievable that I could get 11 quotes and I couldn't tell the difference between Kenny Powers or Donald Trump.
Which is a fun one because, you know, all week it's, oh, he's like Hitler, or even this week Anne Frank's, like, half-sister came out and, you know, she's like, and the Washington Post said, a voice with a unique moral authority came forward this week. And it's like Anne Frank's half-sister. I got to be honest. I don't care what she has to say about anything. She can comment on what Justin Bieber did at her sister's memorial. That's about it. She came out and said, no, Trump is very, very much like Hitler. And it's like, oh, here we go.
He's nothing like Hitler. He's like Kenny Powers.
He is, exactly. Yes. Thank you very much. In 2000, we had the Hitler comparisons with Bushy. And then in 2004 again. And now, and then the Republicrats have been calling Obama, he's like Hitler. And it's like, could we just not do the Hitler comparisons?
I know. Although I do have to say, he's not like Hitler. He is like Kenny Powers. But Kenny Powers did refer to himself once as the HNIC. So.
Yeah, we're going to fix that one in post. So, and meanwhile, Hitler, way more articulate. I don't even know German, and I could tell that he's way more articulate than Trump.
I couldn't weigh in on that one. I just would not know.
Well, you see, and even the Charlie Chaplin version of Hitler, way more articulate than
Trump. Definitely. That for sure.
All right, turn in your Eastbound and Down card. I'd say turn in your voting card, but we know you already burned that one along with your bra and your draft card, so.
It will be turned in by next week.
Thank you.
Did you know that you can affordably use highly targeted video campaigns to convince and sell to the very people you seek on social media like Facebook and YouTube and make more money than ever? Did you know that 96% of people say a video has influenced a purchase? 73% are more likely to buy a product after seeing a video. 58% say a video has made a company appear more trustworthy. 71% say a video leaves a positive impression about your company. And nearly 80% of people say videos make your company seem more engaged with its customers. Whether you have a local focus or can sell to anyone anywhere, we can show you how easy it is to use videos to engage and sell 24/7. We're Revolutionary Media Group, the experts in video marketing. We will showcase your product, business, and service like no other company can, very affordably. Your video attracts customers online on desktops, tablets, and phones 24/7 on social media channels like Facebook and YouTube. Sales and leads click through these videos to your site, call, or come in. For those that don't act immediately, we remarket to them using banners that follow them everywhere online and through email and mobile marketing. And the results can be explosive for a fraction of other lead gen methods. We consult with you to get aligned on your mission and lay out the timelines and budgets up front. We'll identify where your customers are online and then create content that is first class. Then we place the campaigns for you to find your customers, track and analyze the metrics that matter, and of course, keep you in the loop every step of the way so you can see the ROI for yourself. As you know, the video sales revolution is happening. Let's get you started today. Stop telling and start showing and selling. Call us toll free or visit us at www.revolutionarymediagroup.com/video. Making media that matters since 1992. Call or click now and be seen, trusted, and bought from tomorrow.